from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Talks truth, live from the booth, always spits 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like it's nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tune in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.
Hi, this is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth radio show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could be listening to anything else right now, but you're listening to this show. So I appreciate it. Life can be tough. Our paths could be pretty colorful, and they can also be pretty traumatizing or negative in some people's situations. And, you know, no matter what the difficulties are that you have gone through or are going through, a lot of times people think that they need to portray that or project that anger or frustration on other people, when actually that's not true. And we're actually not to give in to such evil tendencies, according to James 4:16. Instead, we are to bear the good fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's from Galatians 5:22-23. Our guest today is Derek Clark. You may know him as the Rapping Dad. The reason why I opened with James 4:6 and Galatians 5:22-23 is because Derek was dealt a hand of cards that most people would probably be crippled under, distracted by, or just have given up on life. And Derek actually was in foster care from 5 years old all the way, actually 13 years, until he was 18 years old and he aged out of the system. But Derek shares a story of hope and of healing. And also, you know, Hebrews 13:15 says, through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Derek actually is going to share his story with us, but he glorifies God. He glorifies God for saving him and for giving him a platform to actually help others. You know, he's not giving in to, you know, evil tendencies, and he's not using his past experiences and trauma to inflict pain on anyone else. You know, often we hear hurting people hurt people, but in this case, hurting people help heal other people. That's exactly what Derek Clark does. The Rapping Dad is a motivational speaker. He's been on Steve Harvey's show. He actually has over 200 million views of his video of him rapping. It's hilarious. You have to tune in on YouTube and check it out. He actually raps with his children, and they're all wonderful, and they have a good time. And you just tell it's a great family event, all of them. He's also an author of 7 books. He's going to talk to you today about the power of prayer, letting go of your past, and not allowing others to destroy you. He also is going to share his hope, his joy, his laughter, and healing with all of us. He also talks about how the inner me can become the enemy. And he raps a lot on this show. You don't want to miss this interview. Here's Derek Clark, the Rapping Dad.
Derek, thank you so much for joining us today on Tina Talks Truth radio show.
Thank you, Tina. It's great to be here all over the world.
You know, I met you 4 years ago. I found you on Facebook, and I don't want to sound stalkerish, but I saw that you were in Tampa speaking. So I was like, I need to hear him. Like, I actually paid $50 to go to this conference.
Awesome.
And I sat
thank
there
you.
And I was just in awe. I was in awe to hear your story, but also that you rap.
Yes.
How did that all come about? If you could share your story with us.
Yeah, so rap, right? What is rap? Poetry in motion. I call it flowetry. So like the hip-hop, right? And having that conscious message, a message that our lifestyle or how we grew up. And so, you know, I grew up in foster care. I got abandoned at age 5 at a psychiatric hospital. And then from there was taken over to basically a shelter for unadoptable kids. I was not adoptable. And so I spent 13 years in the Oakland or San Francisco Bay Area foster care system. And I remember I was about 15 years old in high school, and, you know, I just lost my sister. My sister had been shot and killed, and then my brother had been killed at 16, 17, and my good friend had been killed. So, like, 3 deaths within a year and a half period. And I needed a creative outlet, and I went to a San Francisco Bay Area is like kind of a cultural melting pot. So I had a bunch of friends that knew how to rap, and I'm like, well, I should try. Maybe that's a way for me to fight. Instead of fighting physically, I'll fight verbally. And so you do these rap battles, and I learned how to rap, and I could flow, and it would just trip everybody out. And so I was able to, like, write the pain of my past to literally get the inside stuff out, because, you know, the outside world sometimes is a creation of your inside world. Like, if you don't get your inner life together, your outside world's going to be out of control. What it allowed me was rap was like the taxi to my spirit, basically, like the master key on the master lock that I've been holding all this pain in. And rap was that outlet, the creative outlet for me to just write all the pain and then verbally express it and then ultimately give me a voice.
Wow. And that's incredible. And your rap name was like Diamond. What was it? Diamond?
Yeah, Diamond D, because I was unbreakable, solid like a rock. I came from nothing. And who would have thought, you know, all these years later, I would be rapping for my kids in the car, and then all of a sudden we put it out on YouTube and it takes off and Facebook, and now, you know, it's had almost, what, my videos have had almost 200 million views.
Wow.
Just in the last few months. You know, I passed it on to my kids, passing the positive message, the motivational message, the Christian message. And so, yeah, it's great. You want to hear something?
Sure.
Did I lay it down? All right.
Yeah.
This one has had over 150 million views, this particular one. It's God's hand all over it, because I mentioned Jesus in there, and who would have thought that something like this would take off? But it goes like this. And, you know, basically, I'm in the car with my 10-year-old daughter and my 7-year-old son, and I'm very picky on what they listen to on the radio and what they watch on TV and stuff. Because, you know, obviously the world is trying to corrupt them and tell them how to be and how to dress and, you know, all the things that they're pushing on us. I turned on the radio I turned on the car, and the song on the radio came from Nicki Minaj, which is a famous pop rapper, but she's pretty inappropriate on a lot of stuff. And I didn't want my 10-year-old daughter twerking in the back seat. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted my 10-year-old daughter to, like, listen to positive stuff. So I said, I got to turn this off. This is not appropriate. And she goes, Dad, Dad, blah, blah, blah. So then I came up with this type of rap. I did. Got to keep the lyrics clean, if you know what I mean. No more Nicki Minaj in a twerking machine. No more naked fashion from Kim Kardashian. You a mom. Do you need an intervention? And Miley, no more wrecking ball. Put on some clothes. Where's Hannah, y'all? Because my little daughter loves Hannah Montana, right? Got to turn off Kanye, Eminem, Jay-Z. No more cuss words and negativity. Because a lot of rappers talk about drug, sex, killing. But when are they going to use the words to start healing? Infect the mind of our young kids. When I think about the little boy who didn't know Jesus. But new Lil Wayne, new T-Pain, new 2 Chainz, 50 LeBron James. This is insane in the membrane. Because I'm ripping, I'm thinking, I'm making, taking back the rap game. Everybody's got a little battle to battle. I'm the rapping dad, got to get you back in the saddle. Ripping, I'm thinking, I'm making, talking, I'm making, kicking, the kind of famous. Here I am now making up my own language. You talk Illuminati, talking about your Maserati or your hottie, hottie, hottie in the back of your Bugatti, man. Where's the real rap, not bubblegum pop? I'm from the old school of conscious hip-hop.
Word.
There you go. Word.
I love it. Take us through that process of writing that rap, and how long does it take you to memorize it? Do you even write it down?
Oh, sometimes I do, and then sometimes I don't. You know, I've been rapping for so long that I have so many phrases and so many, you know, syllable arrangements and vocabulary that, you know, I can just make stuff up, or I can just, or sometimes I'll write it. But as I get older now, I do write more. But it does take, and it takes a little bit longer for me to memorize than before. Man, I used to memorize so quick because, you know, I did music for so many years, and music opens up another part of the brain. I was able to memorize, but when you're writing all this complex lyric, it takes a little bit of time.
And I like how you go from, like, you know, old school rap, but then you turn into, like, this reggae. I'm like, oh my God. Just flip it upside
down. Yeah, I know. I do the reggae, yeah. So I would do old school, man, we popping in lock. Keep a finger licking with a barbecue mission on a rap god mission with an M&M vision, and I'll take it to the max, and I'm getting his attention, and I'm always dropping wisdom, so you got to take a listen as I'm rocking on the microphone, even for the prison. No need to pop off, it's time to chill. Here I come with a little reggae ragamuffin feel. As I'm at a was a billabong, he coming up strong. Thinking of making this, I'm going to make it with a rapping dad song. You know what I mean? Just like putting that reggae, that ragamuffin feel in there.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's fun, and it throws everybody for a loop. I'm breaking stereotypes every day.
Yeah, because you shift into a whole different gear and you're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. It's just incredible.
Right.
How do you train your tongue and your mouth to move that fast?
Yeah, you know, I think what trained it really was I grew up playing the clarinet in a foster home. They taught me a clarinet. And if you've ever played clarinet or sax or oboe, you know about staccatos where the tongue hits the reed and you got to hit that reed with that tongue. And I realized, wow, my tongue moves very quick, so that's perfect for tongue twisting.
Well, that's interesting. I never knew that. That is pretty cool. And I love how you said about rap and that creative expression was like the master key to your lock. How would you encourage other youth in foster care or just youth in general? How do they find that master key to that lock, just to unlock all of that from the inside?
Well, it's interesting because that was a master key at that point in my life. At 16, you know, years old, I found so many other keys that are even better than that master key, right? And but I tell the biggest master key is the power of prayer and the power of having a connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus and the Father. And so I am like, I tell people, hey, you know, people say to me all the time, Derek, you give so much hope to me, so much hope. And I'm like, I tell them, I'm just an instrument. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a vessel. Real hope comes through Jesus. It doesn't come through me. And so if I could pass anything on is the power of prayer and, you know, that you're not abandoned by God. And that's why I wrote that one book, I Will Never Give Up on God Again, from feeling abandoned by God to feeling embraced by God. So when everybody was dying in my life, I thought God abandoned me. And so, you know, I turned to other things, which was an awesome key to find at that point. But realistically, he never abandoned me. I was the one that abandoned him. And then he's always there to take you back. He's always there to, you know, embrace you and let you know, I never abandoned you, you abandoned me. And so if I could pass that on is to, you know, the power of prayer, looking within yourself and not letting the inner me become the enemy. And so many times we beat ourselves up. We carry the shame, this blame, and this guilt. And this becomes our story. And it becomes a victim story. And I tell people all the time to divorce your story. I'm from California. I kind of made that up. I think I made it up. I don't know. Maybe someone else uses it. But from California, you know, most marriages they end up in divorce. And so that's such a buzzword. And so I thought, well, divorce your story from victim to victor. I tell a lot of youth in foster care that, you know, you're still alive. Nobody could destroy you. My mom couldn't destroy me. My stepdad couldn't destroy me. My dad couldn't destroy me. The only one destroying me is me. And if you will believe in yourself, if you will believe that you have a higher purpose and that you're not going to let this portion of your life infect your future for the next 80 years, you're going to get through this, but you have to take responsibility for the direction of your life. And part of that is prayer. Part of that is letting go and grow. Part of that is not letting other people's weaknesses or your weaknesses destroy your greatness. God has a plan for you. And we have to keep the distractions out of our head. There's so much mind noise that we don't even hear his voice.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. That is just, it's such a great reminder, but it's also such a great lesson to young people that may feel lost. And you kind of answered this already, but, you know, where do you find your hope?
I find my hope through reading the scriptures, through church pastors, you know, but through prayer. I mean, ultimately through prayer. I love listening to other people's testimonies. If I'm ever feeling down, I'm not bulletproof. I'm not invincible. But you know what lifts me up? It's not only prayer, but listening to other people's stories of how they've overcome, how they turn their test into a testimony, how they turn their mess into a message, you know?
Yeah,
not the message, but gaining like wisdom from them and going, wow, here I've had a rough life, but there are people that have rougher lives, that tougher lives. Like I recently met someone that, you know, dad killed the mom and then the dad stabbed her 28 times. But she lived and she made it. She was only 16 years old. And to see that she had no bitterness towards her dad. Now, dad committed suicide a few days later. When I asked her, are you mad at your dad? She goes, Derek, he's not here for me to hate. I don't want to hold bitterness. When I meet people like that, that just fills me up too. That gives me hope, because sometimes we get caught up in the bitterness. We get caught up in the resentment, or why should I forgive them? They did so many bad things to me. But what we've learned is that when we become better and not bitter, our life goes in a better direction, and that we don't get held back from our potential. And what that unforgiveness does is it just poisons us and holds us back from our potential. So I meet all these wonderful people at my motivational events, and I get a lot of hope from them too. They're like little messengers, little angels from God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
reminders.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. God sends them just to remind you that, wow, this is, especially when it's true forgiveness like that, whoa,
yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Where do you find joy today?
Where I find joy is in my family. I find joy in my music. I find joy through meeting so many other people and as a vessel or as an instrument, helping them start the healing process, finding hope. That brings a lot of joy to me. That does.
Awesome.
My greatest investment are my children. It's not my bank account. It's not my car. It's not my house. It's my children, and I have to make sure that I pass on generational blessings to them and not generational curses.
Yeah.
So that gets me a lot of joy to see how they react to what I've been doing for them.
And I see with your family, you guys share a lot of laughter when you're doing these. I love some of the blooper stuff, you know, saw some of the videos of that. And you guys share a lot of laughter. Is there anything
I'm
else?
I'm a quirky guy. You know, MSN, when I did a thing for MSN, they said I was a dorkily cool dad. And I'm like, that's pretty accurate. Dorkily, I'll take it.
That's great. That's something to be proud of right there.
Yeah. I laugh at myself a lot. You know, that's the thing. I don't like picking on people or getting laughs from picking on people. I mean, I laugh at myself. I have so many crazy stories, whether I'm throwing up on an airplane or, you know, whatever. I got all these stories that I just have to laugh at myself.
Yes. Yeah. We have to laugh at ourselves or we'll cry. Right.
Yeah.
And how do you know that you're healed or the process of healing?
Yeah, so healing is a long process when you've gone through a lot of trauma. I mean, the triggers will be there for a long time. I don't know anybody that doesn't get the triggers 20 years later or something. I mean, someone could die, like my brother, my sister, and my friend. They died, you know, 25 years ago, and it can still touch me. And so you never get over that grief. There's no time limit on grief. In America, we try to find a way, well, you know, you've grieved long enough. It's been 3 months or it's been 6 weeks or whatever. But what I find is what helps me heal and gets me through the tough times is not, you know, only the Lord, but also therapy has helped, you know, EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, and it helps go and kind of rewire the trauma part of your brain. And that helps me. But, you know, what also helps me is to be vulnerable and to feel. For so long, I did not like to feel. My walls were up. So I came up with this expression in my speeches. You got to feel to heal. Can't have those walls up. So basically deal, feel, heal. Feel to heal. And that's what I do is every time you feel, it becomes cathartic in a way where the ultimate way to heal is to feel. And so you have to feel. You've got to cry. And when you cry, I'm not talking about just like church crying. I'm talking about sobbing crying where like ugly cry, right? Where you're getting out that toxic, getting out that negativity, letting it go. And you would be amazed after you have those deep cries, how much clarity you have. And it's like, oh my gosh, I feel free. It's like you just did repentance.
Sure. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like a weight's been lifted off. And then you have to make sure that you don't put the weight back on, the shame, the blame, the guilt, the bitterness, or the resentment, all those things. But that's been a big thing for me is to actually just feel and be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And now I've got that down, and I call it your inner fitness. And you're working on, so many people work on their muscles, their outside fitness, but they have a ton of inner wealth within you, which is your determination, your integrity, your honesty, your persistence, your self-value. You know, all these things are within you, and we have to exercise those muscles, your patience muscle, your determination muscle, your courage muscle, your spiritual muscle. And so I've worked hard on that inner fitness, which helps me move forward and not live in the past. And sometimes when you live in the past, it's really hard to heal. So you have to have like a good foresight, like a good vision, basically saying my best days are still ahead of me. My current situation is definitely not my final destination.
Oh, I could just talk to you forever, Derek. Thank you so much. And one last question. How can we pray for youth in foster care?
Yeah, so, you know, it comes down to James 1:27, and basically to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, right? That's the true religion, the undefiled before God, you know, that we have to be mentors. We have to go out and help these kids. We can't rely on the system to fix them. And that's what we do is we rely on the county or the government system that they're going to fix them. And guess what? When they turn 18, they don't just magically make good choices and they're fixed. No, it takes time. We have to invest in these kids. And you can pray for them, but you also need to take action, which, you know, prayer is one thing, but you got to get in the trenches with them and help them and become mentors to them and be that one person, because a lot of these kids in foster care do not have that one person that will visit them or give them unconditional love or be consistently there or let them know that they belong. So that's what I tell people. We have to be mentors. And I'll give you an example. Every one of us has been touched by someone outside of our biological family, whether it was a pastor, a Girl Scout leader, a Sunday school teacher, a Boy Scout leader, or a soccer coach, baseball coach, football coach, basketball coach, whatever. And we've been inspired by people outside of our biological family. That's how much power we have. So I challenge people to get in the trenches and help the children of God that really need the help. They need it. They need love. They need feeling like they belong. They need like the prayers, but they also need to know that you are there for them, rain or shine.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for being there for not only these youth, but so many other people, rain or shine. You truly have shined your light and your love of Jesus Christ to the world. And we just thank you so much for your dedication and your commitment, Derek.
Yeah, and let me give you, if anybody ever wants to reach out to me and send me a message, if they're hurting, I do respond. They can find me on Facebook under Rapping Dad, RappingDad, or Instagram, Rapping_Dad, or Twitter, or YouTube. But also my website, which is important, is IWillNeverGiveUp.com. IWillNeverGiveUp.com. So reach out to me if you have any issues and need some prayers.
Yes, or if they need a speaker, right?
Yeah, there we go.
Well, thank you so much, Derek. I really appreciate you taking the time and chatting with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Tina, for having me on. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Derek, for sharing your story and your strength and your hope and your healing with all of us. And thank you for listening. Once again, I want to thank 1GM Nation Radio. I want to thank Idioms for the rap introduction. Also, I want to thank Derek, the Rapping Dad, for his rapping that he did during his interview. And now we're going to hear a little bit more rapping. Here's my son, Victor.
Hey, this is Victor with Tina Talks Truth. And the truth is, I can rap presents at Christmas time.
Aw, that was funny.
Aw, thank you. Okay, the truth is, there's hope.
I love how Derek Clark speaks about inner fitness and how we have to detox all of that emotional trauma, shame, guilt. We have to stop living in the past. I love Derek's message of, I will never give up. Here's a special song with the same message. I won't give up. Take my pain and hurt and use it for love. I will trust in you, God, and your word. As long as I have breath in my lungs, I won't give up. Please enjoy this beautiful song that is just perfect with Derek's testimony, entitled For Love by Harborside Music.
Compared to the glory that's to come. So when my soul is hurting, I won't give up. I won't give up. I will trust in your word and the glory to come. Take my pain and all my hurt. Help me overcome and use it for love. Use it for love. The hope of this world is nothing compared to the promise that's to come. As long as I've got breath in my lungs, I won't give up. No, I won't give up. So I will trust. In your word, in the glory to come. Take my pain.